let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. In My Son the Doctor, the Trials and Tribulations of a Modern-Day Jewish Physician, Dr. Dale Block takes readers on an intimate journey through his life as a contemporary Jewish doctor, navigating the complexities of medicine, culture, and personal identity. This heartfelt narrative offers a window into the soul of a Jewish physician striving to uphold his values in an ever-changing world. Dr. Block is a seasoned board-certified family physician with over 5 decades of experience across diverse clinical settings where he has led healthcare teams, a highly skilled physician executive and health educator, and he has contributed extensively to the healthcare field as the author of several books, peer-reviewed publications, and scientific abstracts. My Son the Doctor is a rare window into the life of a family physician who has lived through and often led major shifts in American healthcare. And author Dale Block is our guest on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Great. Thank you, Rick. I'm glad to be on.
So much in the book I want to talk about. Let's start, first of all, with the inspiration. When and why did you decide to write My Son, the Doctor?
Well, you know, after 5 decades of work in the health profession field, you get a lot of stories. And, you know, at parties, family gatherings, friends, they always want to know, did anything exciting or new happen today? And, you know, my stories, are a lot, but I never really put pen to paper until I recently retired. And my wife said, you know, I think it's time to do this. And so I did. And it was a very challenging memoir to write because I wanted it to be honest. I wanted it to be open and truthful and authentic. And many doctors' memoirs today, they tell stories, but there's no context to the story. So it's difficult for the reader to really appreciate the nuance of
Yes.
what you're trying to say, and then add in culture and Jewish experience. And it provided an opportunity for me to really, I think, dig deep and give my readers of My Son the Doctor a really good way of getting inside to what my brain was going through for 5 years.
You know, it's interesting, you do not shy away from controversial topics that we're discussing today, and we'll get through that during the course of the interview. How much of this is autobiographical? How much is fictionalized or even symbolic?
There is no fiction in My Son the Doctor, Rick. It is all autobiographical. And that was part of, the process of being authentic and open and honest. And I think readers of the book, the feedback that I've gotten is very positive. And in fact, it's one of those where it's a page turner. I've had several tell me they started the book, in an early evening and wound up reading almost all the book before going to bed after midnight. So it says I did something right.
You did do something right. The book is My Son, the Doctor, The Trials and Tribulations of a Modern-Day Jewish Physician. Dale J. Block, Dr. MD, is our guest on the program today. His website, dalejblock.com. The link is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, book available wherever books are sold. Can you describe maybe a defining moment in your medical career that shaped your perspective on healthcare? Anything that really made you, Dr. Block, the Dr. Block that we know and we read about in the book?
Well, I have to probably point to my experience during medical school as a father with my daughter, Julie, who was born, I'm getting choked up when I talk about it, with a terminal illness, and navigating the healthcare delivery system and certainly government social agencies was challenging at best. And being a medical student, knowing a little, but really being a father and not knowing much, Julie was our first child. It was a very devastating experience. And even with how bad that experience was, Julie's memory serves as a constant reminder for me to be completely focused and present for my patients and their families. And I hope we have a chance to talk a little bit more about Julie's story a little bit later in the interview. But that's probably the defining moment of the beginning of my becoming a physician.
And that had to be motivation for most of your, basically all of your career, right? That memory and what you went through as a parent, and as you're dealing with other parents going through similar sets of circumstances, you really talked from knowledge, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I learned how to give a difficult conversation some substance with compassion and empathy. You know, when parents and I had a traditional cradle to grave practice in family medicine, so you know, I did soup to nuts. And when I had sick children, or I had patients that were terminal that I was helping at the end of life, I reminded them, and they knew Julie's story for the most part, and we could have that conversation and share what it was like going through that together. And I tell that multiple stories in My Son the Doctor about that type of experience with patients, families, and certainly, you know, those that were struggling with sick children.
You talk in the book about honesty, how that's so important. And you mentioned something that's interesting. When you are going to deliver bad news to someone, how difficult is it to do it with still some sense of empathy, some sense of hope, giving the person that's getting the bad news sort of something positive to get a hold of? How difficult is it to balance that?
Oh, it is very challenging. I think that the importance of being present, the importance of being a listener, the importance of reaching out and touching the patient, whether it's a handshake, a handhold, a hand on the shoulder, those kinds of expressions of compassion and empathy, I think, speak volumes. And it really starts the difficult conversations that we have to have with our patients. It's not an easy process. In fact, medical school, up until recently, really didn't teach much in the way of what we call the health humanities, which is understanding the patient's narrative, looking to shared decision making, making the patient an active participant in their care. It's changing, and I'm proud to say that my generation helped change that. And now my son is a family doctor, is continuing on with that in his practice in family medicine. So hopefully generations to come will also learn that medical school prepares you for the clinical skills and knowledge. Seeing patients during medical school, residency training, and into practice is really where you learn the day-to-day skills of really being a good physician.
When you're a family physician, you see people through all stages of their lives. You develop a relationship with them. How difficult is it for you when you shut the door, you lock the office up, and you go home for the night? Is it just that easy to block that out of your mind, or you're dealing with people that are almost on a friendship level?
Well, I think it is has been for me very challenging to separate out those activities when I get home. I am very lucky, Rick. I have a great wife. Her name is Ellen. She was a health professional as well and comes from a family of doctors. And so when we met and got together and got married right before medical school started, I think she knew what she was kind of getting into. And we just celebrated 43 years of marriage. And
Wonderful.
she has been, you know, my sounding board when I come home so that I can decompress. I will tell you that raising three children and being there for them as well as for your patients was always challenging. But family, you know, faith, a sense of community belonging, that's what Judaism teaches you. And that's what I practiced with my family through the years to kind of help deal with how do you separate out those emotions and feelings coming from your professional side into your personal side. So sometimes a half an hour around the block before I hit the door and all the issues that came up from the day from my kids and Ellen I needed to do that to decompress. It just depends on the day.
How did the Jewish identity influence your path as a physician? You just touched on that, and it obviously is part of who you are as a person, as Dr. Block. How did it influence you?
Well, I grew up in a very traditional Jewish family that believed in faith and a sense of that community belonging and the connection within family. And that was the heart of our daily life. My parents grew up in the Great Depression and had high school educations, but Judaism teaches us to be lifelong learners. And my folks impressed upon all of my siblings that to get a higher education was something that should be a goal for all of us. And we did. Some of my siblings didn't go on to college, but most did, or they got degrees later. I'm the only physician. And I think that the greatest of my mother sharing with others, my son, the doctor, which is where the title of the book comes,
Yes.
is really, a Jewish mothers of a generation, I think, gone by to say that. And Jewish values go back centuries. But I think most important of all, and something that I learned to appreciate, is a saying in Hebrew, pikuach nefesh. And what it means is life supersedes all other commandments. And I kept to that value throughout my career, the sanctity of life, that doctor-patient relationship. It's all part of, I think, my personal, cultural, professional growth. And I think that's how Judaism played a role, in my becoming a good family physician.
Our guest is Dr. Dale J. Block. His website is dalejblock.com. The book is My Son, the Doctor, The Trials and Tribulations of a Modern-Day Jewish Physician. Book available wherever books are sold. The Amazon page is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, as well as the link for the doctor's website, dalejblock.com. What do you hope the takeaway is as people read these stories? You get a number of emotions as you're reading through the book. What do you hope the main takeaway is from reading My Son, the Doctor?
Well, I think the importance of what it's like to go through as a Jewish physician over 4 decades of healthcare. I think that I'm somewhat unique in that, other than post-World War II and maybe when Medicare and Medicaid was signed into law in 1965, I have lived through many transformations of the U.S. healthcare delivery system. And I talk about that chronologically in My Son, the Doctor. And so I'm hoping that my readers take that historical perspective away, but also a Jewish physician's perspective. And I think that by doing that, I'm hoping that it opens the minds and hearts of people that read it to have a deep appreciation for a different faith that maybe people aren't very familiar with today, and how that faith helps to really be the shining star, the North Star, whatever you use for navigation, to be certainly compassionate, empathetic, having cultural humility for others. That's what I'm hoping that they'll take away from reading the book.
The book, My Son, the Doctor, touches on moral, ethical, systemic issues in healthcare. Any one of those topics particularly difficult for you, challenging for you to write about?
Yeah, this gives me a chance again to talk a little bit about Julie's story. Julie was born with a congenital anomaly called holoprosencephaly, which occurs in about 1 in 30,000 births, oftentimes seen as a genetic mutation. Julie did not have any abnormal chromosomes. So we really don't know what caused it. Ellen had a perfect pregnancy and was healthy. We don't know why it occurred, But telling her story, we were in the NICU a few days after Julia was born, and they were trying to sort out what all of the problems were. And they were telling us about her different anomalies that she would have. She had seizure disorder that was intractable, deaf, blind. But one of the things that I think was amazing in this story kind of helps me keep that perspective is they told us Julie would pass in about 5 days. Well, that little girl had so much strength. She lived for 18 months and was, again, that testimony, I think, to strength that I really gained strength from. And throughout my whole career, as we talked about earlier, the experiences that Ellen and I went through with Julie, and I talk about those in great detail in the book,
Yes.
again, trying to really be authentic, and hopefully others may have some learned lessons from that. That Julie's story really got me started on the physician road that I wanted to be and continue to work on all the way through my retirement this past February. I think that was probably the hardest thing for me to write about. And as I said earlier, the people that we met, we were so fantastic. Julie was one of the first children to be in hospice in the Toledo, Ohio area. She was a trailblazer. And throughout her life, I think that she really taught me how to be a person-centered doctor. She taught me how to be present and in the moment with my patients, gratitude, humility, compassion, empathy, how to have those difficult conversations, as we just talked about, and what a great privilege it is to be a doctor. Not only that, but also how to be a really good person to my wife and family, and something that I work on every day. And so that kind of, I think, brings a little bit of closure, maybe for me, in writing about Julie's story in the book, without forgetting.
When you mention Julie, I see the tear and I also see a smile on your face if you're watching the video version as Dr. Black is talking. And what a remarkable 18 months, a legacy that she has. You said something there that's interesting. Work on. Sometimes we think of you go to medical school, you start practice, you've learned everything there is to learn. I get the impression you were constantly learning as you were practicing. Is that true?
Absolutely, Rick. I think if you're really dedicated to the healing arts, and there's inspiration behind that dedication, every day is a new day. Meeting new patients, dealing with the healthcare delivery system itself, helping teach others how to be doctors. My son would come to the office regularly when he was in junior high and high school. And then throughout his medical education or residency, he would come and work with me. Those are the kinds of things that I think really build the character of a good physician. And certainly, I never had any problems getting patients to come to my practice. Sometimes it was too many. But you start the day in the morning, and the work isn't done until everybody's been seen. I's are dotted, T's are crossed, and the work ethic, I think, is something that I also wanted to put into the book because there were good days, there were bad days, and then there were ugly days. There's an old saying, and Rick, I think you might know this one. The ABC Wild World of Sports used to say, "The thrill of victory and the
Ah,
agony
yes.
of defeat." That's the life of a family doc. A good family doc, one that cares about the folks that they're taking care of, as well as those that they're working with.
It's a life full of challenges. How does your story reflect the broader challenges faced by, well, physicians today? You've got burnout, bureaucracy, loss of autonomy, diseases of despair. How do you address all of that? And how did you deal with all of that?
Well, I think we talked about it a little bit before, the fact that I was really well grounded at home. But I share stories about my own struggles sometime with depression and anxiety. The maturation of a person is challenging enough, but add in the profession of being a physician is really challenging. And I think that when we went from a cottage industry of one and two physician practices, where the docs were GPs, they lived in the community amongst their families that they took care of, to what I call the medical industrial complex that is really focused more on margins, metrics, and market forces, is really behind, I think, causing the physician fatigue and despair. COVID-19, the pandemic, I think, was the straw that broke the camel's back. We lost many physicians to the COVID virus, as well as, unfortunately, to the diseases of despair, with some physicians taking their own lives. That hit me, in my heart more than anything. And I think that we're seeing the final straw with less primary care physicians, less specialists. Medical admissions to medical schools are up, but there isn't as many wanting to be primary care docs on the front line, which I think is potentially a problem and something that I'm glad that my son has kind of taken on that next generation of being the educator, practicing, teaching, and the like. Unfortunately, the emergency department and urgent care centers are becoming primary care docs, and that shouldn't be. And I think that's one of the things that I'm hoping we'll see change over the next several years as we get more students going through training, picking primary care, because we have focused on physician wellness now, as well as patient wellness. And the two have to go hand in hand together, Rick, if we're going to solve the problems of a broken U.S. healthcare delivery system.
How do you juggle being a doctor and being a businessman? And I ask that because we read that, the average doctor has like 8 minutes. He's on the clock. As soon as he says hello to the patient, the clock is ticking and he's got somebody else waiting and somebody else after that. How do you balance that? I had a family doctor growing up and I would feel guilty walking out of there and everybody staring at me in the waiting room like, how could you take so much of this guy's time? He would show me pictures of an airplane. I mean, we would just sit there and talk. How do you juggle that? You're a doctor first, maybe a businessman second. How do you balance that?
Well, I think it's a difficult balance, Rick. And I think I used to tell people, I never had a rule like you could only tell me three problems today. Well, patients sometimes wait several weeks to get in to see their primary care physician. And one of the things they don't want to see is, the doctor with their hand on the door handle, kind of getting ready to try to leave, and then interrupting the patient while they give you their narrative story. I used to teach and continue to remind physicians that if you allow the patient at the beginning of the conversation to answer an open-ended question like, why are you here to see me today? And then just be quiet and let the patient talk. They will tell you everything that they want to accomplish that day, if they can, in about 5 minutes. But we've trained physicians to be so conscious of, number of patients per hour, number of
Yes.
patients per day. If a patient needed 2 minutes, they got 2 minutes. If a patient needed 30 minutes, they got 30 minutes. And I always apologized if I was running late to my patient as soon as I walked into the door. And that brought that authenticity, that dual doctor-patient relationship to the forefront. I was and have been in corporate America. I was a medical director for a large steel company. I've been in and out of the health insurance industry. I've also been at the level of state agencies. I was a assistant medical director before I retired at the Ohio Department of Medicaid. So I needed to be able to learn the executive skills on the business side because I was teaching it to my colleagues and younger generations how to manage the business side of healthcare, because it has changed, and it's changed a lot. And in fact, I went back and got board certified in medical management. I also have multiple degrees in health systems management and an MBA, because I wanted to know the theories, the frameworks, the models behind what I was doing, so that I could be part of the solution to the problem, not a problem to the solution.
Our guest on the program, and time is going way too quickly, I want to make this part one of our conversation. There's so much to talk about. If you're fascinated by the conversation, you will love the book. And again, don't just leave a couple hours. Leave the entire night and early morning the next day so you can go through, keep reading, and enjoy the book, My Son, the Doctor, The Trials and Tribulations of a Modern-Day Jewish Physician. Dr. Dale J. Block is our guest. His website, very simple, dalejblock.com. Book available wherever books are sold. What is the effect of anti-Semitism in the world today on Jewish healthcare professionals? It's something that we read about, unfortunately, every day in the paper. What impact does that have on the medical profession?
Well, I think it has impact that is overwhelming. If you're aware of the current statistics, apparently, according to the research, more than 50% of all hate crimes are anti-Semitic in origin. And we've seen that on TV multiple times with the loss of life in the temple in Pittsburgh, the recent attack on synagogue members coming out of a service by an individual who had a bone to pick with Judaism. We've seen a number of different types of hate crimes escalate to outright murder. And that not only affects, I think, the Jewish communities themselves, but those of us who are the leaders of those communities, we begin to be very careful about what we say and who we do. I used to always say, you know, my office is not a place for politics or religion. And sometimes that conversation gets a little towards that, and I have to be somewhat judicious and make sure that my patient knows that I am agnostic when it comes to politics and religion. I will support you and care for you and love you as a patient and as a person. And I hope that you can do the same for me. And that's where I think My Son, the Doctor, also is going to play a really big role in helping others that have misconceptions and misperceptions of Judaism and what it's like to be a Jewish physician. And that's feedback that I've gotten from readers as well. They really felt that there was that sense of belonging while they were reading My Son, the Doctor, that they experienced growing up as well. And so I think we need to be considerate. We need to be compassionate for everybody and not judge on, you know, race, gender, faith, you name it. I call it representation, fairness, and belonging. That's going to be my new mantra for diversity, equity, and inclusion, because it really speaks to the process.
Yes.
They're not just words. So it's, you know, we could spend probably the entire time talking about that, Rick, but I thank you for asking the question, and I thank the listeners today for giving me a chance to explain that. And also in reading the book, I think the explanations certainly are a lot longer than what we could talk about today.
Well, you tackle those issues, cultural and generational insights, that and so much more in the book. The book is available, by the way, wherever books are sold, My Son, the Doctor, The Trials and Tribulations of a Modern-Day Jewish Physician. His doctor's website is dalejblock.com. Book available again wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Go to your neighborhood bookstore, ask for a copy of it. And I'd like to thank Page Solutions, a dedicated team of literary managers passionate about representing writers in the literary marketplace, for arranging our conversation today. Doctor, I don't know where the time has gone, but it's gone by way too quickly. So much more to talk about. Hopefully we can continue our conversation. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Oh, I enjoyed it, Rick, and I too also hope that we have an opportunity down the road to have another conversation. Thank you again.
It is our pleasure. Look forward to talking with you again. Our guest has been Dr. Dale J. Block. DaleJBlock.com is the website. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You are listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.